lovely to have someone that could just expound and open up stuff and really make alive to us the scriptures. But I believe a lot more people falter because of their relationship with God. And I think the first place that someone says, my relationship is faltering with God, I'd say, why don't you just go run back to the cross of Christ? Go run back to Jesus. Go and see this great sacrifice that God has given us in the person of Jesus, and the sacrifice that He freely gave Himself for us, that we can have every benefit that you could possibly imagine. And as our relationship with God is renewed and our hearts are made new again, He speaks to us. He makes the scriptures come alive to us. He brings things across our path, because we're not supposed to just have information for information's sake. When we hear the word of God, it should change something in our hearts. So we say, Lord, I want to be changed to be more and more in the image of Jesus Christ. Before I get there, I want to do one of two things. First of all, I want to pray for our finances. Second of all, I'm going to move this monitor because I can't see my friend Sandile there. Can you see me now, Ruth? I need to see your smiling face to encourage me halfway through. So would you like to take your finances in your hands? Greg Haswell came through a while ago and he just brought a prophetic word for people that have in need of financial breakthrough, checks in the mail, all that kind of stuff. And I'm still hearing of testimonies of people that are saying, you won't believe it. Economy is fraught, but my bosses have given me a raise. You won't believe it. Things are happening. I got a bone. I got this. Everyone else is saying they never got. I got. It's amazing. So would you take what you're wanting to sow, or if you do it electronically, say, Lord, this money that I'm going to be depositing whenever you deposit it, and Lord, we just pray for the finances of this church. Lord, we come with a returning back to you and with a heart of generosity, Lord. We want to use this, Lord, as not as your token to show you how favored we are, Lord, but Lord, because your word says so, because you've placed generosity upon our hearts, because we have seen it in your very character and nature. Lord, would you bless every single person, Lord, that is got finances that they're bringing back to your storehouse tonight, and Lord, would you increase the favor upon this body of believers, Lord. Not that you're going to favor us above anyone else, Lord, but we recognize that your hand is at work here. And Lord, when we are favored, the people will notice, Lord, that you are with us. As in the Old Testament, Lord, the people that were around the Israelites as they were going into the Promised Land, the people recognized that their God was with them, because they lacked no good thing, because everywhere they placed their foot, Lord, you gave it, given it to them. And so, Lord, we just pray for the finances this evening in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As I was saying about the cross of Christ, of all the sermons I've ever preached, I just mentioned it to the pastors this week gone past in a pastor's meeting. I said, I would rather make a mess up or hash up some other sermon. I could spend a lot less time preparing my heart, preparing the preach that I'd had, and misinterpret some scripture, or take lightly some of the passages of scripture. But this one here, the cross of Christ, I wouldn't dream of trying to take this sermon lightly. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Mark 15. Tonight we're going to be concluding the book of Mark. I'm going through Mark 15 and Mark 16 this evening, and I'm going to ask the guys just to help me out with the scriptures as they come up, if you didn't bring your Bible with you this evening. And I want to start reading, and hopefully if you have your Bibles, you'll catch up, and we'll go through this evening. Verse 1. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and fled him away and delivered him over to Pilate. Put your handbrake up. I'll be going through little chunks, opening it up, just kind of filling in some of the gaps that you might not see. Because like any gospel, there is other gospels that kind of fill in some details. And you'll see that some other gospels have some, that they've taken a certain aspect and they've opened it up. So I want to use Mark as the guideline, but I'm definitely going to be pulling in from some other gospels as we go through the evening. See, what's happened here in this first verse is the Sanhedrin haven't gathered for a special meeting, but what you're seeing here is they've already met through the night, and they've determined in their hearts, this Jesus, he needs to go now. He really does. He's a thorn in our flesh. We need to get rid of him, and we need to make sure that he's killed. But they did not have the authority to kill somebody. The Roman rule that was at that time said, you don't have any authority to try someone for a capital crime, and we're the ones that have that authority. And so they sat there saying, now how are we going to corner this Jesus and make sure that he is eliminated from us forever? And so they met the whole night before, and what had happened was that the one crime that they accused him of was leading a rebellion. They said he's the king of the Jews. He's claiming to be king of the Jews, and I'll get through into more details of some of the crimes that they were accusing him of. But they said, you know, he's blasphemous. And the Romans really weren't worried. Now, that's your Jewish religion. We're not too worried about whether he blasphemed or not. And Jesus never did blaspheme. He never did, because the word blaspheme means to curse God, and Jesus not once cursed God, even though they repeatedly accused him of being blasphemous. So what they did is they accused him of high treason. And the high treason that they were talking of was that he was wanting to lead a political revolution. But the irony of the situation is this, is that Jesus disappointed the very people that were hailing him and putting palm fronds in front of him as he was walking into Jerusalem. And they were saying, this man, Hosanna, he is going to deliver us, and he's going to lead a political a revolution, take over, get rid of these Romans and restore the Jewish rule back in this place. But the very thing that they were so disappointed about is the very thing that they accused him of and said, no, he claimed to be king of the Jews. And he's asking us to stop, not pay taxes to Caesar, but you'll see as we go through it. So the members of the Sanhedrin led Jesus away and handed him over to Pilate. And in the palace of Herod, that's where the trial took place. And early in the morning is when this took place, because Pilate held his trials at that time in the morning. And so they brought him through and they said, this man, and we'll get into it now, but they explained why they had their session late at night and now coming into the morning, because they had already been meeting in the evening and they said, this is it, we have to now finalize this thing. Mark 15 verse 2, let's carry on reading. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered them, you have said so. And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But Jesus made no further answer, except Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, then what shall I do with the man you call king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. See, Pilate's first question to Jesus is, are you the king of the Jews? Shows that when he first arrived, the charges had already been made known to him. He already knew that these are the charges that the chief priests are putting against Jesus, making sure that he has to entertain the accusation towards him, because there were three charges that they brought against him. Number one, this Jesus, this is the people in the Sanhedrin, said, this Jesus, he's subverting our nation. Number two, he opposes payment for taxes to Caesar. And number three, he claims to be Christ, a king. And so, because, and as you can see in Luke 23, was those three charges. But you can see here is that the guys, Pilate wasn't really interested in about, is he subverting our nation, or is he opposing taxes to Caesar? What he was interested in was a third accusation, which says he claims to be a king, and that he's leading this revolution against the Roman Empire. See, one thing I want to just make mention of is that at that passage of scripture, we can see five things that the Jewish leaders contradicted in Jewish law in connection with Jesus' trial. Number one, they assembled for trial in the high priest's residence rather than in the temple. We can see that at Mark 14. Number two, they tried Jesus at night and not during the day. Number three, They convene for the trial on the eve of a Sabbath or a feast day, which the law said they weren't allowed to do. Number four, they reached a guilty verdict on the same day of the trial. Number five, they were trying to sentence Jesus on inadequate grounds for blasphemy. See, because as I mentioned earlier, Scripture defines blasphemy as someone who curses God. And Jesus never committed that. So they were left with, by falsely charging him and getting some people to stir up in the crowd to say, this is what this man has said. That he wasn't going to be paying, told us to not pay taxes and claim to be king. Let's carry on reading. Mark 15 verse 16. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together a whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. See, Mark says nothing about the scourging of Jesus. When Jesus got whipped, it says that the Jews were more merciful because this was such a heavy punishment that they limited it to 40. It said maximum of 40 with these whips that were made up of bone and lead fragments into the end of this whip. It used to rip flesh off until you could see bone. And that's why most people didn't survive that. Just that alone. But Jesus was sentenced by Pilate to be scourged and flogged with these whips. No normal person, I believe, would have been able to endure what Jesus did. But it goes on to say that he was whipped. And then he was mocked, which is what we see here. They beat him after the scourging. It says here, as it says in Mark, with a reed, hit him in the head, and spitting on him, kneeling down in homage to him, mockingly. It says, and some people have said, you know, that Jesus was on the cross naked, but in Mark, it says that they put his clothes back on him and led him to be crucified. His hands tied to a post. In those days, you would have if you were going to be crucified, the crossbar beam is what you'd be nailed to. Your hands would be nailed to that first, and you'd have to carry that. You weren't nailed to it. You had to carry that beam yourself. At the crucifixion site, you'd have your nails driven through your hands. Your feet would be crossed, and nails driven through your feet. And because of the way that your body was situated on the cross, you would bet your heart and your lungs would take strain to breathe and for your heart to pump blood through your body. But let's carry on reading. Mark 15:21. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what they should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. An inscription of the charge that was laid against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha! You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He can't even save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Some commentaries say that that whole darkness, it could have been obscured the whole sun. Could have been dark clouds or what they call a sirocco, which is a wind that comes in from the desert. But either way, it wasn't uncommon in Jerusalem in the month of April, those kind of winds that were just dark. But it says the whole land was darkened. And it lasted for 3 hours, which is about from 12 o'clock to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. So yeah, before I carry on with Mark, I just want to put the handbrake up there because that's all that Mark says about the comments of Jesus on the cross. But we can see in other Gospels that there are more things that Jesus said. Jesus said seven things from the cross. I want to go through them quickly. Number one, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't really recognize that you need the Father's forgiveness. Maybe you think that there's not really a sin in your life that's worthy or that needs to be forgiven. But tonight, I want to make an opportunity for you to recognize and to say that I need the Father's forgiveness. Number two, when Jesus speaks to the prisoner, or the one of the people on the cross with him, said, today you will be with me in paradise. There's a promise and a hope for us that we will be with him one day in paradise. As he rose from the dead, so will we too. Number three, when Jesus, speaking from the cross, says, woman, behold your son. Speaks of Jesus looking out for the need of those that are with him. He recognizes your need. You might be sitting here tonight saying, I don't know so much if he can see my situation. I've been praying for so long. I've been asking for so much. But he really is concerned for the daily needs that you have in your life. Next thing that Jesus says is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Speaks of Jesus being forsaken so that we don't have to be forsaken. Number five, Jesus says, I thirst. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. On that cross, through that statement, we can see that it was 100% man that was suffering on the cross. Number six, he says, it is finished. That for me speaks of grace. When he said it's finished, it doesn't mean that we have to now try and do the right thing or try and be the right person. And maybe possibly we can, if we sacrifice long and hard enough, if we pray long and hard enough, if we work at our character long and hard enough, then maybe God will break through into our lives. When Jesus said, it is finished, it really is. There's no to be continued, no blooper reel at the end of it. It is finished. He finished a way for your sins, all of your sins, to be forgiven. I was in the Word a couple of months back, and this just came to me. I was battling with the understanding of how could God forgive my sins? One person's sacrifice can now forgive all of my sins. And he led me to this. The Holy Spirit, he says, because it's by faith, and that's what got me going. The word by mathematically means multiply. So this is for free. If you can give me a value of 100, like, because I'm a really bad sinner, you can tell, hey, I'm a really bad sinner. Give me 100 as a value. Multiplied by Jesus' value of sin, which is what? You guys can, you can respond. What do you think Jesus' value of sin should be? If mine's 100, what's his? Zero, okay. So we multiply my 100 by Jesus' value of zero, and you get?
Zero.
You see, you guys don't believe it. No, but you guys, some of the people here, I can see really have a bigger value of 100. So let's try this out, because for some of you there that know that your value isn't 100, it's maybe a couple of million. So we take your value, all combined together, a couple of million together, and we multiply it by Jesus' value of naught, and you are left with? So you really are free. So the sacrifice of one person, sinless, is truly able to pay for not only every sin that I have, every sin that we have, but every sin of the world, every sin that's going to be committed, every sin that has been committed, because he is naught, sinless. By faith, we are able to experience. When he said it is finished, he knew at that moment, this is it. I haven't sinned once. It is finished. You are all free to accept this loving gift that Jesus offers us tonight. That's good news. That is good news. The last thing that Jesus says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And we tonight can commit our lives into God's hands. Mark 15:37, let's carry on reading. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. In the Old Testament, a lamb was taken, and at exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, daily, the lamb would be brought before the priests. They would then sacrifice this lamb, and its blood would be shed. Exactly 3 o'clock every day. The shofar would be blown once the sacrifice was made, and people would know that that lamb that was sacrificed was to atone for the sins of that community. Jesus died at 3 o'clock. The Lamb of God. It says there, at 3 o'clock he died, which is the ninth hour. And when Jesus crying out, saying, it is finished. When he cried, whatever he cried is his last, because it's in Mark, it says, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. It was unusual because crucifixion normally takes between 2 to 3 days. You could very well be up on that cross day, and then the next day, and then some people even 3 days. So that's why the people were quite surprised that he died, because normally it takes a couple of days. And second of all, I didn't think they factored into account that he had been scourged. He'd been flogged. See, people die on the cross from a couple of things. Number one is shock. Two is fatigue. Three is loss of blood. And four is asphyxiation. Mark 15:38. Let's carry on reading. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You've heard it before, I'll say it again. That curtain that was in the temple was to separate the Holy of Holies from the rest of the world. And when Jesus came and he died on the cross for us, that curtain was forever torn so that we can have free access to come into the Holy of Holies. Anytime we want to, like this, we can meet with the Father and not die. It's the truth. In the Old Testament, guys would have little things tied around their ankles, so when they went into the Holy of Holies, if they didn't have their sins properly atoned for, they would fall down and be forever with God. They'd have to drag his body out. But on that day, that curtain was torn and says, you don't need this anymore. It is finished. This, like a little piece of paper here, that's it. No more. You don't need this curtain. You guys can go in to his presence wherever you are all the time. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. Remember, I said that normally crucifixion takes 2 to 3 days, normally. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of a rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. I'd like to ask those that are preparing communion for just to come and hand out the elements. I've put together while they're busy doing this, a little video clip, a little clip. Someone here that's sensitive, I'd ask you not to have a look. I could only watch this movie twice. Once at the cinemas, once when I bought the DVD, but the truth of it always hits home. This great sacrifice. So while they're handing out the elements, you might say, listen, this is you're just playing with my emotions. I think we could use a little bit more of emotional stuff in our lives. We become quite clinical and cold and reserved. Let's play. remember your great sacrifice. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you and your great love for us. Lord, we remember this new covenant that you have given us, that we don't need to do anything else, Lord, but to just freely receive that what you finished for us on that great day. Lord, forgive us where we've been wallowing in pity and trying with our own efforts to please you. Because, God, it was only through the cross that you were truly pleased, and that you are constantly pleased with us. Lord, we want to bring our lives to you, as that song is that we sang earlier on, that you are looking for our whole heart. And Lord, we do, Lord, out of an appreciation for your great love that was found in Jesus Christ. We want to take these elements this evening. Jesus, you said that this is your body, to take this in remembrance of you. Let's take together. And Lord, as we've already prayed, as we remember you, Lord, the new covenant speaks of blessing, speaks that we are highly favored, speaks that we are healed and not sick, speaks of that, Lord, that grace is upon us. So Lord, we remember you, your blood, and this new covenant in Jesus' name. I've got the rest of the sermon to get through, but Mark 16. Can the musicians come up in the meantime, please? Mark 16 carries on to say, He is risen. He is risen. He didn't stay on the cross. He rose from the dead. And that is the power. The power that we have full access to. They were wandering around saying, is this really real? Isn't this real? Is this really Jesus? And Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and said, guys, I told you this is going to happen. But I don't want to get into that now. I really feel by the Spirit of God that God's wanting to move tonight. And maybe you've come here and I just feel that there's somebody here that has a relational issue, that they've come out of a relationship and they're needing God to just touch them tonight. They need to see Jesus Himself. You've come here, you've got sickness in your body. You've come here and you just need to touch God. You just need to say, Lord, I've forsaken my first love and I want to return back to you. We need to respond. He's done everything that we need. The only thing He can't do for us is respond for us. He's forgiven us, and by faith, we are free. By faith. We need to just accept it and receive it. And sure, there's going to be some people that will walk out of tonight still hurting, still ill. But one thing I can promise you is that you will meet Jesus and you will see Him again. You'll see Him now and you'll see Him again on that day when He comes with fire in His eyes. But if you want to come and just get somebody to pray for you, don't be shy. God's grace is sufficient. I'm not even going to ask us to stand. I'm not even going to close and pray. Because I believe God will meet us where we are as a sign of His grace. But if you have need for prayer, would you come now? You want someone to pray with you? Someone to stand with you, just want to maybe just to cry with you. Whatever it is, would you come? The elders await for you here in the front.
Jesus, I want you to know.
You, Jesus, for your glory, for your fame, lives are changed tonight. Lord, would your presence come with every single person here, Lord, and just meet with us. Minister to us, Lord. You know the desires of our hearts. You know our questions and concerns, the things, Lord, which take the forefront of our mind. Lord Jesus, we want you to have a place of preeminence in our lives. When we see these images, Lord, they're not fictitious. They really happened to you. We want our lives to revolve around you and not you to revolve around us. We don't want to have a casual relationship with you. We want you to be everything that we are and everything that we will be.